Thank you for introducing. Today I want to talk about brine soil separation using time frequency analysis. This is a joint work with Takeshi Mandai and Akira Morimoto and Fumio Sasaki. So, what is a cocktail party problem? This is a study of the human listening ability to focus one's listening attention on a single talker among a mixture of conversations and background noise. One approach is to make a machine to solve the cocktail party problem in a satisfactory manner. So this is what we call brine soil separation. First, this is a reference. Cherry wrote a book on, the title is On Human Communications. First printing is 1957. He wrote a paper before that, 53. And in this book, he defined the cocktail party problem. And recently, Heikin Chen, the cocktail party problem, this is a survey paper. If you want to know about the history of cocktail party problem, please look at this paper. So, this is a brine soil separation problem. Assume you are in a cocktail party and close your eyes. Then you can hear several people are talking. Since you are closing eyes, you need to use two ears, rest on light. Then you can recognize how many people are talking and where they are. And also, if you want to hear someone's talk, only one people, of course, human can separate a mixture of conversation. This means you can hear only one people's talk. How to do that on computers? So this is an ordinary setting. You have sources. Here sources are humans. And you put a microphone to correct the signals. Then you can observe the M signals. From this M signals, you want to know, M signals, you want to know how many people are talking. Here is N. N is unknown. And you want to say, you want to hear the human one, these people, then you need to separation of from these observed M signals. So this is a mathematical formulation. This is what we call space mixing problem. So assume you have M observed data, then you can construct capital X. This is a data matrix. Since you have M observed signals, you have M by capital N matrix. Capital N represents the number of samples. This means the length of the data. And you want to have a decomposition like this. X is equal to AS. A is called a mixture matrix. This is M by N matrix. And S is a source. This is what we want to know. This is a small n by capital N matrix. But the problem is we do not know the number N. N is unknown since we are closing eyes. And also, there are many ambiguities to have this decomposition. So usually in this setting we assume M is greater than or equal to N. So the problem is the following. Find small n by M matrix A plus such that its output Y is equal to A plus X can be identified with S by properly permuting and rescaling column vector. If we knew the mixing matrix A, we could solve the linear equation X equals AS simply just to multiply from the left-hand side the pseudo-inverse of A. Then you can have S is equal to, say, A plus X, something like that. However, the point is that we know neither A nor S. So we need some assumption on that. So to separate observed signals, we need to assume some properties which the sources should have. One powerful method is independent component analysis. This is a statistical and computational technique for leaving hidden factors that underlie sets of the random variables and measurement or signals. Here, ICA assumes a statistical independency of sources. So you assume something on sources, then you have a decomposition I wrote before, X equals A times S. Now we want to assume independency of time frequency information on sources, because we are interested in time frequency analysis. We need some independency to decompose. So if you want to know about ICA, this is the independent component analysis, there is a book by Chichoki and Amari, Adaptive Blind Signal and Image Processing. This has a comprehensive references, actually more than 1,000. I think the first one to assume some independence in time frequency domain is this paper. Jurjean, Ricard, and Yilmaz, blind separation of disjoint orthogonal signals. This is the proceedings of IEEE International Conference on Acoustic Speech and Signal Processing. They assume the double disjoint orthogonality. This is what we want to say, independency time frequency domain. Roughly speaking, double disjoint orthogonality is the windowed Fourier transform of sources are mutually orthogonal. This means just multiply two sources and windowed Fourier transform and the integral over the time frequency domain, then it is almost zero, something like that. Our starting point of study is these two papers, Napolitani and Berenstein and other people. Quotient signal decomposition and order estimation. This is a technical report, and they have one more paper on this book. So here you can see quotient signal decomposition or estimation. What is quotient signal estimate? On this topic, we already have two papers. One is the first one, Keiko Fujita and Yoshitsugu Takei, Akira Morimoto, and I. mathematical view of brain source separation and time frequency and space. This is accepted, and the other is this one. Ryuichi Ashino, Carlos Berenstein, Keiko Fujitake Morimoto, Mitsuo Morimoto, Domenico Napolitano, Yoshitsugu Takei, mathematical background for method of quotient signal decomposition. This is submitted. Our main concern is we want to know the mathematical background or mathematical view behind the brain source separation problem based on the time frequency analysis. If you want to solve the positioning problem, this means where the people are talking. We need to solve the time-space mixing problem. What is the difference? Difference is here. There is delay, CJK, because if you are thinking of 2 years are very close, the signal from somewhere is almost reach the same time. This is no delay. But if you put the microphone the other way and the other end, then there should be a delay because the distance of the source and the microphone is different. We need to use such a time delay to detect the position. This is what we call time-space mixing problem. I will talk at the end of this problem. So let's explain the fundamental idea of the quotient signal estimation. So I think this was considered first by this paper, Baran and Losca, statistical properties of short-time Fourier transform ratios for two-channel systems and application to brain source separation. This is this appeared in Proceeding of Independent Component Analysis, ICA 2000. This paper considered some kind of ratio of window Fourier transform. Then I explained the not time space mixing problem, only space mixing problem first. There are two steps to solve the brain signal source separation problem. Step one is estimation of the number of sources. You see, we do not know the number, how many people are talking. So we need to first estimate how many people are talking. Then if you know the number, you can go to the second step. This is a separation of sources. To estimate the number of sources, we need only two observed signals. But to separate clearly, you need n observed signal. This means the same numbers of the people or sources. So here I will explain the primitive idea to estimate the number of sources. X1, you have two observed signals, X1 and X2. These signals are superposition of sources, S1 and SN. So since there should be difference, we put a constant A and B like that. So even if it is very close, but if the microphone is different, you can take the different signals. We need to use the difference. Of course, AJ and BJ are known and are unknown, and the number of n, small n, is unknown. B know the Fourier transform of small s, the sources, and small x by capital J. This is a window Fourier transform. Then you need a ratio. The ratio is represented like that. Just take a Fourier transform. And the important thing is this is a complex value. So you need to, if you want to say, if you want to know about say S1, then you need to look at the phrase that S1 is dominant prime region. This means roughly speaking, we defined EJ. This means say J is equal to 1. S1 is not 0, but at this point T omega, S1 is not equal to 0, but the others are 0. This means essentially on EJ, only capital SJ is not equal to 0, the others are 0. Then what will happen if you take T omega belongs to EJ, then the others are 0, then you have only this term, these are 0, then you can cancel out the S1, then you have the this ratio is close to A1 divided by B1. Since this coefficient are real, this should be real. This is a point. So now these waves are carefully designed to show the situation. The position is a little bit different and the frequency is different. So these are regions in time frequency domain. So the support of S capital S1, the Fourier transform small s1 is mainly essentially supported by this dead region, something like that. The others are the other colors. And the white part is, for example, I don't know, but surely green and red is not equal to zero on here, you see. And the yellow part is there are nothing, almost zero. So this is what we want to call something like independent. And there are regions which only one signals are active. But since we know the signal, we can say something like this. So we need something different way to detect these regions. This is, you see, let's go back the other way. Since if T omega is belong to capital EJ, then this ratio is real. So T omega belongs to EJ, this ratio is real. So let's look at the phrase, this ratio is real. Do not worry about this point belongs to EJ or not. Then we have this one. You see, this is just a imaginary part of the ratio is almost nearly zero. Then this is very close to the what we want to say active. S1 is active on red, S2 is active on green, something like that. This is very close. So let's use this region to estimate. Assume these ratios are different. The farther EJ, this is only one signals are active, occupies enough large region in time frequency space. Then we can detect the number of sources by counting the different values of this ratio. On EJ, this should be AJ divided by BJ. So, since we can only one signal are active, the region, these regions are very close to the region which this ratio is real. Let's draw this ratio is so assume this ratio is real. Then take this value and draw a histogram. Then we have this kind of histogram, you see. So there are at certain point, certain value, there are peaks like this. Why they have peaks? Because on that region E1 or E2, something like that, it should be constant. So there are many points which are constant. But since we have four, say, in our example, four sources, we have four peaks. Because on that region it is constant, the value is different, so we have four peaks. This is a way to estimate the number of sources. Usually the ratio should be different value and complex, but if you're looking at the real value, then you can reduce the number of candidates, and on that candidate there are many constant. There are many points which are very close. For the numerical experiment, I explain afterwards. We have this kind of peaks. There are foot like that. Since the example is carefully designed, we have very good peaks. But real data, we have something like this. But still, we can detect there is four peaks. Now, if you're looking at the now here is a region which are mainly one signal are active and the others are zero. We design these signals like this way. Then how it looks? It looks like that. We can say which red, this means S1 is active on this red region in time recurrency domain, and the others are same. But these are very complicated, but still this is very close to the value of imaginary part. Absolute value of imaginary part of ratio are nearly zero here. Red and yellow part. You see these are very close. So since we know that we use information about the signal sources, we can write these figures, but if we do not know the sources, we cannot write this one, but we can write right-hand side like this. So we assume these are very close. Then to show more precisely, just take the only one signal as an octave like this. Then I will explain the next step. Next step is, you see, what is the value here? You have a peak. This value is, I don't know, maybe 0.8. Let's call this should be some ratio like this, A1 divided by E2, B1. So let's call this one is A1 divided by B2. And here is maybe 1.0 or something like that. Let's call this value is equal to this one. This way we know these ratios. We know the value of these ratios using this histogram. So we use n signals. Since small n is known by the first step, we choose n signals, and this should be include x1 and x2 because we use these two observed signals. The value of peaks correspond to the quotient AJ divided by BJ. This is I explained before on, you see, the value here correspond to, represent this ratio like this. So you need to deal the value. So take some point which satisfy this one, and now you use a different k, different from 1 to, say, of course 2 is 2 or n, putting here, and you need to several points because it is not sure that if you take one point, this is belongs to EJ or not, something like that. So using this value, we can have a normalized version of A. We can define B, which is a normalized version of A. So since if you estimate the mixing matrix A, this can be solved. There is ambiguities, of course. The column vector weighs how much energy, or we cannot determine the order of sources. Here is a numerical example. Former spoke sentence, "Hello, John." Separately, we superimpose by computers. These are four speakers speak, "Hello, John," something like that. Then I use a mixing matrix like this. Then we have two observed signals, this one and this one. And very strange. Sorry, it is almost sleeping. This one. Then the active region is like this. Since we know the sources, we can write active region like that. Sorry, I had a mistake. This is a real part, and this is active region. So And using our method, we have four peaks. What's next? Next is a time-space mixing problem. The point is you need to introduce the parameter delta, which shifts, here is a shift here. Ah, this looks nice. We need to come close to the screen. And you want to move this delta, and you want to find the delta which appears the peaks, which will gives you the peaks. So we need to move delta and do the same thing as before, and you need a good one. You need to choose a good one. Then you can find the delta, good delta. This corresponds to the shift of time. This good delta detector time shift CJK sub K. So, since we do some mathematics, we proved such a estimation here and there, but we just omit this. If you know the time shift, then this corresponds to the length divided by the speed of the sound. So if you know the CJK, this means you need the distance between sources. Then how to detect the position of sources from the distance between sources? This is already done by hyperbolic navigation system. This is used already. For example, LORAN is a long-range navigation. It's used for ship and aircraft from the World War II. Now you have a GPS. This is more precise but expensive. Global positioning system, you know. There are around 30 satellites around the Earth, and you use a you can use that, but now this is already this is more cheaper than GPS. It's still working. So here is a hyperbola. Hyperbola definition of hyperbola. Here is a focus F1 F2. Then distance of P1 F2 minus F1 P1 F1 P is a constant. This is the definition of hyperbola. So if you want to find the place, let's say here is a microphone, and here is a microphone also, and since we know the distance from here and here and here, so I had a mistake. You know the difference of the distance, this one and this one. Because time delay corresponds to the difference of the distance of human and this microphone, and human this microphone. So the human should be on this hyperbolic line. Then if you use same thing for this one, then the intersection is a human position like this. But intersection of two parabola are not unique. For example, this case, this is same thing as before, but it depends on the position of this point. You can have the other intersection. So more complicated case is like this. If the three points are on the certain hyperbola, then intersection, the three parabola intersect at two points, and this and this. So you need more information to choose one thing. Actually, Loran, in case of Loran, you know where you are approximately, because if the ship is close to Japan, the intersection should be close to Japan, something like that. Using this fact, you can choose from here, maybe this one or this one, something like that. So this is all. Thank you for your attention. That's all.
Yeah. Usually they have
four points on the entire frequency
plane.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. So
is there any
case of transit level experimentally? Yes, we need I say approximately zero. This means we need to choose epsilon carefully at this time. So manually we choose this one. We are moving. So this is very important. Of course, we need to cut it, but we need to put several threshold, and to how to choose it is very difficult.
Well, I would assume it depends on the noise level.
Yeah. If you added a noise, then sorry, which one I don't know. We already tried to add noise. I did not prepare for this slide, but if you added noise, these parts are very wide. This goes up. So if you add noise, it is very difficult to detect. So. Once a piece. Yes, you are right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you see, since we are doing on numerical computation, for example, we choose a point, say, imaginary part is equal to zero. But it is quite difficult to say. At certain point, this function is, or this value is, the imaginary part is equal to zero. So this means we choose, say, imaginary part is quite small, something like that. This is the first important threshold. Because exactly via or something like that is very difficult. Yeah. How far?
Yeah.
Oh. So we did not look at how far compared to the position, but. For numerical computation, we use a real recording signal, but this is only one by one. One by one means only one person and the other. And we decided to this person is on the axis somewhere, and other things are how to use that. Everything that we calculate on the desk or computer, this means this, say, we set the length of the distance, but and decaying order, something exponential, and we do the same setting not real one on the computers. Sorry, so we do not study such a question. This scheme works for which distance or something like that. We don't know at this time. We should study, I think.